Now we are going to have a look at dispatchers. Just to remind you, dispatchers are where we sell goods to a customer in Europe. This will be, again, Europe being the EU. Now what we do with dispatchers depends on the status of our European customer. If our European customer is VAT registered in his EU member state, and he gives us his VAT registration number, then we will zero rate the supply of goods to our business customer. If, however, our customer is not VAT registered in his EU member state, then we basically pretend he is a UK customer, and so we charge him whatever UK VAT would be appropriate to the goods we are selling. So if we were selling women's clothing, we charge standard rate VAT at 17.5%. If we were selling apples, we would charge 0% VAT because they are zero rated. So we will just pretend the overseas customer is a UK customer and charge the appropriate rate of VAT in the normal way. There are no port formalities within the European Union, so when we send goods from the UK to Europe, they are not held up at the port of entry into that European country. They go straight to the premises of our customer. Now, an acquisition is where my supplier is based in Europe and he supplies goods to me in the UK. As I mentioned before, there are no port formalities for transfers of goods between EU member states. So my supplier will send his goods from Europe to me in the UK, and they will not be held at the port of entry into the UK, but instead they will come straight to my doorstep. Thus, there will be no import VAT being accounted for when the goods reach the port of entry. Acquisitions work in a mirror image way to dispatchers. So if I have given my European supplier my VAT registration number in the UK, he will effectively zero rate the supply of goods to me. If I have not given him my VAT registration number, then he will charge me his local rate of VAT on those goods as appropriate. Now I am going to assume that I have done the right thing, and I have given him my UK VAT number, so the goods have come to me effectively VAT free. Customs are just not going to tolerate a situation where I buy something VAT free from Europe, but I have to pay VAT for the same goods if I buy them in the UK. This time, however, customs have not got the option for holding the goods at the port of entry and making me pay some VAT to release the goods. Instead, what happens is they make me charge myself VAT on those goods on my next VAT return. Thus, I have to pay over an amount of VAT that would have been charged on those goods if they had been purchased in the UK by putting that VAT into the output VAT box on my next VAT return. However, by the same token, this VAT is now input tax for me, which I can recover on the same VAT return in the normal way, as long as I have used those goods in making taxable supplies. So for a fully taxable business, that is a business only making taxable supplies, there will be a nil effect in the VAT return. The amount of goods going in the output tax box will equal the amount in the input tax box. Only partially exempt traders will have anything to pay effectively from such an acquisition. So how do you know which VAT return to put this double entry into? Well, we have a special tax point for acquisitions, which is the earlier of two dates: the 15th of the month following the month in which the goods arrived, or the date on which the invoice is issued for that supply of goods. Just one or two more things I want to say on acquisitions. When you are calculating the VAT on your acquisition, you just apply the normal UK rules, so the goods could be standard rated, zero rated, or exempt as appropriate to the type of goods you have acquired. It is the standard rated goods that are going to have an impact on your output tax box and your input tax box on your VAT return. If a business which was not already VAT registered acquired over £70,000 of goods in a calendar year, or expected to acquire £70,000 of goods in the next 30 days, then registration for VAT would be required. This is because there would be a taxable supply of £70,000 of goods to themselves. Hence, output tax needs to be accounted for on those goods. So acquisitions can actually make a business eligible for registration for VAT. What would happen if I forgot to give my VAT number to my supplier of goods? Well, that EU supplier could not send me my goods VAT free. He would have to charge me his local rate of VAT. It is at this point that it gets fairly messy, because I cannot recover VAT charged in another country on my UK VAT return. I can only recover UK VAT on a UK VAT return. When those goods arrive at my business premises, I will have to account for VAT on them in the normal way. so my output tax and input tax boxes on my VAT return would have numbers going into them. However, I have also paid this foreign VAT. Now what am I going to do with that?
I am going to have to make some sort of claim under the VAT 8th Directive, or Electronic Cross-Border Refund Scheme, as it is now called. This can get very messy, is very time-consuming, and it would have been so much better if I had not forgotten to give him my VAT registration number in the first place.
Certain goods imported into the UK from outside the EU are subject to a relief from import VAT under the provisions of the VAT Imported Goods Relief Order 1994. The FA 2002 introduced measures to allow such relief from VAT for goods coming into the UK from other EU states.
Now, I mentioned earlier that for exports and for imports, there is a bit of paperwork involved. For an export, you have got to ensure that you have got the evidence that your goods are exported. For an import, there are some valuation forms to fill in, and then you have to pay your import VAT, etc. However, when it comes to acquisitions and dispatches, there is also quite considerable paperwork for a business as well. In particular, there are two returns of importance.
Now, the first return is called the Intrastat, or the Supplementary Statistical Declaration, or SSD. There is an acquisitions Intrastat and a dispatches Intrastat. These are required if the total value of dispatches exceeds £250,000 in value in a year, or for acquisitions if the total value in a year exceeds £600,000. These new limits took effect from the 1st of January 2010.
The Intrastat must be completed and submitted within 1 month of the end of the relevant month. So that is the end of the month of arrival, or the end of the month of dispatch. Nil returns are not required, however. A failure to submit an Intrastat when required is a criminal offence, so you have to make sure that you do it. The sorts of details you have to give on an Intrastat are the commodity code of the goods. Each type of goods has a separate classification code. The VAT exclusive value in sterling. The terms of delivery. The nature of the transaction. So it is a sale or a lease, etc., and this is identified by a two-digit code. The net mass of goods in kilograms, the member state of arrival or dispatch, and the mode of transport.
The other return that has to be completed only applies to dispatches and is called the EC Sales List, or ESL. It must show the value of supplies made to each customer, with each customer being identified by their VAT registration number in the appropriate member state. EC Sales listings used to be submitted monthly, or sometimes quarterly, within 42 days of the end of that period. Another change from the 1st of January 2010 is that the time limit for filing ESLs is reduced to 14 days from the end of the relevant period if paper returns are submitted, or 21 days if electronic returns are sent in. It is still possible to send ESLs quarterly, but only if the VAT exclusive supplies to other member states does not exceed £70,000 in total in any of the previous four quarters. You can make an annual submission of an EC sales listing if your turnover does not exceed £25,500 plus the current registration limit of £70,000. This gives us £95,500. An annual submission can also be made if the sales to your EU customers do not exceed £11,000.
So most people selling to EC member states will have to fill in an EC sales list, and if you get it wrong, or if it is late, then there are civil penalties to penalise you for your wrongdoing.
Of course, there is one other return that has information on it in respect of sales to overseas customers and purchases from overseas suppliers, and that is the VAT return itself. The trader has to put an entry for the value of supplies in box 6 and 8 of the VAT return. Box 6 is for total supplies made, excluding VAT, i.e. the total sales figure, and this must include the box 8 figure. Box 8 is the statistical box for supplies of goods and related services to the EU. Likewise, the value of purchases has to be accounted for in boxes 7 and 9 of the VAT return. Box 7 is for total purchases made, excluding VAT, i.e. the net purchaser's figure, and this must include the Box 9 figure. Box 9 is the statistical box for acquisitions of goods and related services from the EU.
Now it is time for you to have a go at a question. There are 6 transactions taking place here, and I want you to click on the appropriate box to say whether the transaction is a dispatch, an acquisition, an export, or an import.
As is the way with tax, people do try to get around the rules, and the distance selling regulation really is a sort of a piece of anti-avoidance legislation to stop people trying to avoid paying VAT or registering for VAT. The distance selling legislation applies to sales to non-registered persons in other EU member states. So from one EU member state to the other EU member state, basically, it affects mail order traders. So let us say I sell women's clothing mail order to my female non-VAT registered customers in France. Now, under the current rules, that is a dispatch, and I would charge the UK rate of VAT, 17.5%, to those French customers. This may not sound like any advantage at all.
The rate of VAT in France is 19.6%. Therefore, there is a bit of a difference when it comes to the VAT being charged on the goods. Customers may therefore find it cheaper to buy goods from the UK than to go to their local French shop.
Hence, I am doing quite a roaring trade. Now, the distance selling legislation allows me some mail order sales, but once the cumulative value in a year on my mail order sales exceeds the distance selling threshold, I am required to register for VAT in France. And then what happens is my sales are treated as going from my UK registered business to my French registered business. So a zero rated dispatch. And then a sale from my French registered business to my French customers, hence I have to charge the French rate of VAT, and so the little stunt is over.
Now the distance selling threshold varies between different EU member states. It is either €35,000 or €100,000.
The UK have gone for the higher limit, and in sterling it is about a £70,000 threshold. So for anyone from another member state selling mail order into the UK, it is only once their cumulative turnover exceeds £70,000 that the distance selling legislation requires them to register for VAT in the UK. If you have to register for VAT under the distance selling rules, you may wish to take up the services of a fiscal representative who will administer your VAT registration in that EU member state. Once you are registered for VAT in another state, then those sales, as I said before, are treated as dispatches from the UK to the other member state, so they will appear in Box 6 and Box 8 on your VAT return. You will have to make intrastat declarations for those dispatches, etc. It is entirely possible for a UK mail order company to end up with a separate VAT registration in every country in the EU if he has lots and lots of sales to customers in all these different EU member states. That's the end of the lecture on international aspects, goods.